Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another Draw Along live stream. My name is Kat Huang. I'm a teaching artist here at Art Prof, and I'm joined today by fellow teaching artist, Deepti Menon. Today, we are drawing fantasy landscapes, which is actually a continuation of our previous stream together. And remember, if you want to nerd out about art, Art Prof has everything you need, from tutorials to critiques to a community of fellow art nerds. So Deepti, do you want to explain a little bit about what we have on our screens right now?
Yes, so Kat and I did a stream some time ago, which you guys should check out, where we did fantasy landscapes together. And is this our third time working on this or second?
This is my second time, probably your third.
I think this might be my third time. So we've done a couple streams working on this. And today I think we're gonna both try and accomplish as much as possible, maybe get close to wrapping up. Yes, I did this landscape with Jordan, and then Kat and I also did another fantasy landscape Procreate. So this is Kat's second time, my third time. So yeah, we're gonna be talking a little bit about like how we are progressing. We have some reference images that we've both been working on. Kat has some crazy chickens flying around. Also is living with some chickens. But yeah, we'd love for you guys to draw along with us and post in the Discord afterwards. And we'll be talking about all of this. So yeah, Kat, how are you feeling about your piece? What stage are you in?
I like the beginning. I think I did a lot of good color blocking, like the weird funky colors and the green neon chickens. I think from now on, I'm going to try to focus on getting more color variation because everything kind of feels like it's local color, if that makes sense. Like if you have a red tree, it looks red. But if you have a red tree in yellow light, then it might look orange, you know? So I might play around more with color and obviously do more details, finish up the chickens. What about you, Deepti? Do you have goals for this stream?
Yes. So I think I'm trying to also kind of make everything seem a little bit more cohesive. Right now, I feel like my main issue is that I like where everything is, but it all kind of still feels a little just separate. Like, I don't know. I want to get a better lighting vocabulary down and then work more on the background and the details. I think like I've worked with this kind of like watercolory brush, which I still don't really understand what I'm doing with it, but it's kind of fun to work with, so whatever. but I think getting the lighting down a little bit more, maybe having a little bit more dramatic lighting, but I'm definitely someone who works well with references, and I had references for these, but I'm realizing like the lighting situation isn't exactly the best with what I like chose, so I'm kind of improvising lighting and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah,
how are you feeling about your piece? Like what kind of like after taking some time away from it, have you had any like epiphanies?
No, not really. I'm just, when I first pulled it up, I was like, oh my gosh, it is so red. And what I'm doing right now is not really helping. But I don't know. I think a lot of dealing with color is just experimenting. So as I'm working on this piece, I'll just be experimenting more.
What are you doing right now?
So I just added a new layer and made it completely pink. Here, I'll put it on normal. Where's normal? Okay. So I made a new layer that was completely pink, right? And then I changed it to overlay, and then I'm playing with the opacity of it.
Oh.
So this does affect the layer below it, as you can see before and after. And I don't know if pink is the way to go. We're gonna keep trying.
We're gonna find out.
Keep trying different colors.
Yeah, I think what I'm realizing is I enjoyed working with this watercolor brush, but I like, when I work with watercolor in real life, I like to bring in like a color pencil to add some details afterwards. And I think like I've been doing these like funky self-portraits in Procreate to kind of just help myself learn it a little bit more. And I really enjoy working with like the pencil, and I think it helps me a little bit. Like it's like a medium that I feel comfortable with. So I'm trying to come in right now with maybe a little bit more details, and visualizing that might help me see what I like need to do, because the watercolor is already like a medium I'm not super comfortable with, and then Procreate is not something I'm super comfortable with, so I already feel like just a total fish out of water. So that's kind of where I'm at. But what I have realized with these fantasy landscapes, because they're fantasy, it has been such an improvisational process. Like, I'm like really just kind of going with the flow as I go.
Nice.
If people are drawing along with us, let us know what your process is and what you're kind of working on and trying to accomplish.
Yes.
I have been using Procreate a lot more than usual, which has been exciting. And I credit you and Jordan to for helping me with that.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. I feel like, you know, Deep D, you're an accomplished artist and an accomplished animator, but you know, your artistic journey doesn't just like end here. There are so many things out there to try. So
yeah.
I think it's like wonderful that you're trying out Procreate. And I think it's also wonderful I'm trying out Procreate. I mean, Procreate's not really my chosen medium, but it's good to know.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I think that like what you said is so important, because a lot of people tend to like think that you have to be the best at something and then like you should just focus on that, or like, I don't know, you're always a student. And I think it's good to always be learning and exploring. Mm-hmm. At least that's how I like to look at things. I'm also trying to be like you and be a little bit more adventurous with my color palette. Just a little more like, I care a little less, which I don't know. I'm not sure if that's working, but who knows?
Gotta keep trying.
Gotta keep trying. Gotta keep just playing around, and then you'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've never actually seen like a sunrise react the way I'm actually drawing it. I've only seen this in like film or animation or something like that. Usually something make believe. So I'm having trouble with this lighting scheme.
It looks pretty realistic to me, if that means anything. So.
Yeah, thank you. Art Prof is asking, do either of you think that you push yourself more when you are working alongside another artist, or does working with another artist not affect how you work? Oh my gosh. Well, in my opinion, I think it definitely pushes me, because I think it's a great, like, you're functioning together, like you're encouraging each other. You want to do the same amount of work as the person next to you and stuff like that. And you can find it inspirational too. So yes, I do feel pushed. What about you, Deep D?
I agree. I think that it's really helpful also just to have someone like kind of like a second pair of eyes almost to give you some feedback and critique, or even like seeing how someone else who, like, you and I, Kat, have a pretty different, like, skill set and wheelhouse. And I think, like, seeing how you address lighting when I'm trying to think about lighting probably will be really informative for just, like, my creative process. So I think that it always is helpful. Sometimes when you're, like, working on maybe a client work or something, it might be a little detrimental because you can, like, you know, get distracted. But we're both also the products of art school, where I think a lot of us are used to working in environments where we're with friends a lot. So that might also have something to do with it.
Yeah.
We have a comment here that says, I love to bounce ideas off my artist friends. Yeah, I think that's a great point too. Like, it's a easy way to just bounce ideas off of one another and get feedback in like real time, which is really valuable and awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, sometimes when I'm working on something and I need feedback, I like message 5 of my artist friends because I was like, I need feedback now. And out of the chances of 5 people responding to me, one of them will probably be pretty fast, right?
I love that. I do that sometimes with like Instagram posts. I get like really nervous about posting things and I'm like, is this ready? Like, should I post it? Which is like kind of dumb. And I should just like be posting things regardless. But like, I'll do that sometimes and be like, ah, what do you think? Or like, what should I tag this with? Or just silly.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. Also, like, posting something is kind of final. Once you post it online, it's pretty much forever. Even if you take it down, people will probably remember it. And I don't know, maybe there's some archive out there that keeps all deleted Instagram posts.
Probably. But,
yeah, I think it's really good to actually have like another set of eyes on something before you make something public.
I agree. It's always good to like be self-aware too of like what you're posting and what you're doing. I'm so bad with layers. I keep drawing on the wrong one.
Every artist's worst nightmare. Oh, Neil is asking, does any one of you experience a situation that prevented you from making art for a long time? How did you deal with it? Deepthi, do you want to take a stab at this question first?
Sure. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever had a situation like where I was sick or unable to make art for any other reason, like financial reasons or whatever, which is really lucky. But I have had like just slumps kind of where I just don't feel like it, or I don't feel inspired, or I'm kind of really busy. I think finding people that will inspire you, like recently I've been drawing a lot of self-portraits and stuff because my friends have been inspiring me and I've been talking to them and just seeing their work, and it's been like really motivational. But also finding just time. We did this stream recently of like 10-minute art prompts. Me, Alex, and Clara did it together, and like finding that you can just like make things in small amounts of time and taking the pressure off was really useful for me, because I feel like I can be kind of hard on myself and not the most helpful when it comes to encouraging myself. So that was helpful for me. What about you, Kat?
So I've had periods of time where I didn't do art for a while. I think the first time was when I got rejected from the art school I applied to in France. After that, I was like, I just don't feel like making art because, you know, whatever. I'm in a foreign country. I might as well just like take this time to learn the language and explore. So that was the first time I had a long break from art. And then it just like, I picked it up again when I went back to art school. The second time was when I graduated art school. And for a while I was like burned out, because I'd been working nonstop in art school, that I just felt like this is the time for me to take a breather, because I don't know if I can anytime soon. And eventually I also got a job, which also prevented me from making art. But I think since then I've like, sometimes you just need time. You just need time to like step away from art, and eventually like you rekindle the love for art again in your heart and you just pick it up again. So that was my method of going about it. It was a very go with the flow situation.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Sometimes you like just need, like your body or your brain is just telling you that you need a break. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people are conditioned, at least I am, to think that like taking a break means that I'm lazy or something like that. But I've come to realize that if I really, really feel burnt out, it's in the long term going to do like more harm if I don't take the break. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and having like other passions has been great for me, like other creative things that I like to do, so that I can like bounce between them all and still feel like productive, because that's really big for me. So yeah, mm-hmm. But it's whatever works for everyone.
So what are some of the other hobbies that you do outside of art, art making?
Well, I act, and that takes up a lot of time because I'm constantly auditioning, and that is also a very grueling, awful, heartbreaking process. Mm-hmm. And so most of the time I actually find that my art, like my visual art making, is my way of coping with like my acting heartbreak. Because I feel like also because I've been a visual artist for longer, I have a bit more like creative control and stability there and stuff. So like that. And I don't know, I like doing like just other kinds of visual arts, like other than animation. Like this feels kind of like, you know, a break in a sense, because like, you know, what is really going to be the repercussions if I make something I'm not super happy with tonight, you know? Like I'm learning regardless. But yeah, those are kind of my things. What about you, Kat?
Oh man, I always dread this question, because a lot of my free time honestly is spent reading a lot of comics, because I enjoy that, and it so happens to be my mode of work too. So I think I need to learn to separate work from pure indulgement. because sometimes it's too much indulgence, and then sometimes it's too much work, and I need to find that balance. But other than that, I just like have a really fun time exploring antique shops. But again, this is like work and indulgence because I'm making a comic about antique shops. I don't know what to tell you, Deepti.
I feel like that's fine though. Like, I don't know. I think that we're all like really like lucky that we are in a creative field that we're like all so passionate about. And like, if we're passionate about it, why not spend our free time? Like, I don't know. I think there's some like shame where people are like, you should have something that's completely different. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I do that too. Like, I spend so much time like watching movies and reading screenplays and overanalyzing people's like acting performances and watching like animated film, but I do feel like recharge. I think it's like whatever works for you is like totally fine.
You're right, Deepti. Thank you. You should be a motivational speaker.
In my humble opinion.
I'm curious what everyone else in the chat does, like besides art making, or maybe your hobbies are just like art making. Like, what else do you do to recharge? What else do you do to find inspiration?
Maya Hika is saying, same with Deepti. I play violin and piano and learn different languages as my way of taking a breather. That's awesome. And you know, like, I think that doing these things are great because at the end of the day, I feel like they actually can help you with your, like you said, Kat, with your antique shopping. Like, it's for work, but I'm sure that there was some, like, inspiration on both ends feeding each other. Like, you probably got inspired by one to do the other, so... I think that's like one of the nice blessings of being an artist is that we can just go to like fun areas and then get inspired and then have them sneak into our lifestyle.
Yeah. But, you know. Speaking of art sneaking into your lifestyle, as a comics artist, and tell me your experiences as an animator, Deepti, but I feel like whenever I create a story, it inevitably is about me somehow.
Isn't it kind of impossible not to have that happen? I feel you. And it's frustrating sometimes because then it's hard to like be an objective like storyteller because then you get like really invested in it. But that always happens. I feel like Jordan says that about character design sometimes. He's like, things always end up kind of looking like you.
Yeah. It makes me a lot more sympathetic of like directors who have tropes, you know? Night Shyamalan, if that's his name, his trope of like the plot twist at the end, whether that plot twist is actually good or not, you know? And I'm like, I have tropes too, I've come to realize. Like, I always draw babies or old people. And I've also noticed that whenever I draw old people, a lot of the times they pass away.
Wow, let's dissect that. Where does that come from?
Oh my gosh.
That's so funny. I mean, that's not funny, but like also it is kind of funny.
Your own tropes?
No, that you make old people die in all your stories.
Oh yeah. But I was asking if you've like realized that you have your own tropes in your own artwork.
Oh, I don't, well, I guess like I tend to draw really like kind of ugly looking things. So that might be a trope. But I don't know. I think I go for really like colorful, kind of over the top situations, which might be a trope. It's hard to kind of, what is like your style versus what is a trope? You know?
We have a comment from Freshie91, coding and web development. It's fascinating how different and similar the processes between the two are, left brain versus right brain. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. I actually have an artist friend who also does coding and web development as a hobby. And you look at her artwork and you're like, that makes sense because all of your art is very, how do I say this? Like organized, neat, and has a system that works all the time. So it makes sense that her hobby is web development and coding.
That's really cool. I like that. Yeah, I like knowing what kind of fun things artists also do because it, sometimes you're just like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Simon Angelic is saying, can your art trope be your style and vice versa? Yeah, that's kind of the internal monologue I was just having. I was like, I think your art trope might actually be your style. Mm. Or like part of your style, you know?
Mm, yeah. You know, I think it might be easier for me to talk about tropes because I'm more like comics artist, linear narrative kind of thing. So it's easier for me to notice situations I often write into my stories.
Mm.
But when it comes to like visual art in general, that's a really good question. Like, what is the distinction between a trope versus just like style?
Yeah, I like, it's also interesting that you brought up like film directors, because it's kind of similar, and like it's easier to sometimes see what a film director is known for because it's like a little bit more narrative based.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that's kind of an interesting discussion to keep thinking about. Art Prof is asking, why are you both pulling up your reference photos after not looking at them for a while? Well, for me, I think I'm trying to figure out the lighting situation and get a better understanding of some like really small details on these like little blue mushroom guys I have in the front. So those are things that I think the references can help me with. While I was doing color, because the color, I wasn't really inspired at all by the reference photos. I kind of put the photos away and let myself get a little funky. Mm-hmm. But now I'm pulling them back. How about you, Kat?
Yeah. Also similar thought process as Deep D. I think also as I was drawing these trees, I noticed I was drawing them too similarly, like a pattern, such as what I have on the screen right now. And when I pulled up the reference photos, I was like, oh, there's like a lot more texture to these plants. I just like forgot about it because I didn't have my reference photo up for a while. So yeah, if you ever feel stuck or you need, you know, more spark in your artwork, I suggest going back to the drawing board, going back to the reference photos and seeing what inspired you in the first place.
Yeah, I think that's what I was also going to add, was that like, because I hadn't worked on this for quite some time, I had kind of like forgotten a little bit of like why I did certain things in a certain way. Mm. So I'm like revisiting that as well to be like, oh yeah, why does this look like this, and why does that look like that? And things are slightly confusing still, but they're also making a little bit more sense. You never fully understand why you do stuff sometimes.
Blue Wolf Spirit is asking, how do you pick a color from the drawing or the reference? What are the clicks to do that? Oh, so for Procreate, you see that little square in the middle right here? Do you see my reference photo? To the right of the reference photo, there is a bar. In the middle of the bar, there is a little white square. All you have to do is click on it, and then this circle thing appears, and then you can just select whatever color you want. So if I want the red, I'll select the red. If I want the purple, I'll select the purple. And there, bam, I have purple.
I think also if you use both your like two fingers, that can happen too.
Oh. I don't know.
Or not two fingers, one finger and you just hold it down. That's what I'm doing right now. It's like if you just use your finger and you hold it down.
Yes, that just worked for me. Oh, cool. I learned something new too.
Oh my gosh, look at me now teaching Procreate. The student has now become the teacher. Just kidding. I'm nowhere near being able to teach Procreate.
I mean, same.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, wow, like, when I'm with Jordan, I'm like, I mean, you definitely know way more than me, Kat, and you definitely help me a lot. But sometimes I'll ask Jordan a question, he'll have like five answers for it, and I'll be like, wow, you really know your stuff.
Oh my gosh, sometimes when I'm talking to Jordan, we talk, like, I know my way around Photoshop a lot more. But the thing about Photoshop is I learned all of it by using it a lot. So yeah. I didn't know certain things had names to them. And so Jordan said something like really basic, like, do you know, for instance, like clipping mask? And I was like, what is that? And I realized, oh, that's just such a basic function. I just didn't know the name for it.
Oh my gosh. That's kind of like me with when anyone's talking to me about animation stuff.
Hmm.
Sometimes I'll just say things and I'll be like, I have no idea what you're talking about because I just like make animation. I don't know like animation theory, or like they'll bring up artists who are animators and I'll be like, I have never heard of this person. But then I see their work and I'm like, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So people who are watching, I hope that makes you feel better about like, if you don't go to art school, don't feel like people who do go to art school know things, because some of us just don't know. Neil is saying, any tips for inventing a lighting situation from imaginary landscapes? I always have to use the same overcast lighting. Anything different feels too confusing to me. I feel the exact same way. I have this problem all the time, and I'm having it right now. So, Kat, your lighting is really interesting and kind of like intense. Do you have any tips?
I would say, first of all, have references of this particular lighting situation. There are plenty of really good photos out there where you can just like maybe do a master copy, or maybe just like draw inspiration, like what we're doing with these reference photos, in order to help you with lighting situations. Now, the other thing I would suggest is just like experiment and have fun with it. Like maybe take a face and try to guess what kind of weird lighting might appear on that face. And then just like experiment and have fun, and also use references. So those are my two tips.
Yeah, we have a really great reference photo collection on Flickr, which is all free and you guys all have access to. So check that out. That has some like really interesting objects, but also lighting situations. But I think what Kat said about like doing a master copy. I did a master copy with Jordan recently on one of our streams, and it was like really, I'd never done one for like a painting, and it was really, really awesome to do and like learn that way. So I think that's a great way of learning.
Yeah, it's been a really long time since I've done a master copy. I really should pick that up again.
It was so fun. I have only done them for videos, like in like an experimental kind of way, which is fun too, but I really enjoyed just doing a painting, and it felt so relaxing because there was kind of like we just like picked something that we were interested in focusing on, and the rest we just let, you know, whatever happened happen, and I loved it.
That's cool.
And then I also think for like lighting situations, you can always just like do something that doesn't make sense and then kind of like adjust as you go. Like if you're using a lot of different references and they all have kind of like different lighting sources, sometimes I just lean into that and then as I'm going, kind of make adjustments. Especially if it's like this where it's just like fun and we're just kind of learning and messing around. There's no harm in breaking all the rules and then like figuring it out later. W315 says you can set up a little desktop model to test your lighting scheme too, right? Do you mean like a live model or like a, how I'm kind of interpreting that is that you can like set up something like in real life and put like a lighting situation on it. That's kind of a really cool idea.
Yeah, make a diorama or make
Yeah.
a miniature version of your art in 3D and then light it. Yeah, that's totally an option. That's a really good suggestion.
Who's that artist that does that? It's with like the dinosaurs.
I was literally gonna say guy with the dinosaurs.
What's his name?
I'm sure Clara will know. She'll
Yeah,
intuit.
Clara, help us out. Didn't we do a stream where we guessed if things are like from photographs and he was one of them?
Oh yeah, we were together on that stream too. He was
Yes.
one of them. And I think I guess someone from like the golden age of illustration or something like that, from like the Brandywine tradition.
James Gurney, he has a great YouTube channel. Yes, that guy.
I didn't know he existed until we did that stream.
I didn't either. I was
Oh.
also pretty surprised.
Our prof is saying Jordan said that he sometimes puts light on an action figure to check lighting on a figure. Yeah. I mean, if you have like a doll or a Barbie or something like that close by, that's a great tool for reference.
Yeah, or like your own body. I'm a big
Yes.
fan of just going in front of having a full-length mirror near you at any given time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ooh, I like how dark the mushroom became for yours, Deep D. I feel like it's become more tangible with those shadows. I also really like the shadows.
Thank you. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm working on right now, is I'm trying to go like foreground to background with like details and figuring out the lighting. I felt like that big mushroom was kind of the like main one that I had to figure out the lighting for. And then now that I kind of have a little bit more of an idea with that one, everything else is kind of making a little bit more sense, mm-hmm. even though it's still quite confusing. My allergies have really been like acting up today. So if you guys hear me sniffing, I'm sorry.
Same, actually. It's allergy season in California, which is where I'm located.
I don't even know if it's allergy season here. I think it might just be dust.
Maybe.
I feel like I'm always playing that game where I'm like, is it my allergies? Do I have a cold? Or like, do I have COVID?
Yeah, like really with the pandemic, there's like another level to the game.
I know. It's so scary.
When I was in high school and not in control of whether like I could skip school or not, like in college, I would always, I hated getting allergies because I'm basically feeling sick, except I'm not sick enough to not go to school, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And you know, the crazy thing is I grew up in California, where like pretty much exactly where you are, Kat, mm-hmm. in the Bay Area. And I never had allergies growing up, like wasn't allergic to anything.
Interesting.
And then I went to Rhode Island for college, and in the East Coast, I'm like really allergic to things.
What were you allergic to?
It's all plant-based because it's always in the spring and it's like the foliage or whatever. Foliage. Huh. But like, I was always like, am I getting sick? And then I had this epiphany that I think I'm allergic to things. And wow. It was really bizarre.
Actually, when I moved to Rhode Island, my allergies got less serious. I still had them occasionally, but it got better away from my home.
Yeah, they're so weird. Being allergic to things is just so bizarre.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, have you ever like heard about how weird lactose intolerance is? Because I've heard that, you know, sometimes it's genetic that you're lactose intolerant, and sometimes it's because you haven't eaten dairy in a long time, and other times it can just happen randomly to you, like randomly.
Yeah, I've heard that you can like become lactose intolerant because you just step away from it, but isn't it true that like we're technically not supposed to be having dairy? Or is that a myth?
I don't know. I don't know this much about lactose intolerance.
You brought it up, Kat. Now answer the question.
Maybe someone in the chat will be more knowledgeable than me.
Prof Lou is asking, Kat, did you remove the chickens permanently from your landscape?
No, I just wanted to work on the landscape in more detail, and to have to like draw around the chickens was super annoying. I figured I could also color match the chickens better to the landscape once the landscape was done. So this is what's great about digital, is that you can separate these things. Whereas if this was all traditional, I would be forced to work on the chickens and the trees at the same time.
I have realized that working digitally recently has made me like a worse traditional, like I'll sometimes double tap mm-hmm. to try and get like undo. I'll be like working with like just one piece of paper and then try and like somehow get like the layers to work. And then I'm like, what am I doing? This is one piece of paper.
I've actually had worries about like the fact that color coordination and color editing, color adjustment is so much easier on digital. But I'm afraid my color sense in the traditional mediums will actually get worse.
Mm.
So I've had that worry.
Have you seen that worry like actually become a thing or no?
Not really, because I don't work traditionally in color right now. I guess I'll have to like find out and see. But I have actually thought about doing like a quick color study digitally and then traditionally sort of like emulating that or getting a lot of help from that, I think that would actually help my traditional color matching.
I feel like you have a pretty good color sensibility though, Kat.
Thank you. But you can always get better.
That's true. We can all always get better.
I like how sunny your landscape is feeling, Deep D. I like how dark it is in the foreground, and then as it goes back, it gets like super yellowy and warm and inviting.
Oh, thank you so much. I didn't really plan that. I'm really not good at lighting. Like, that's probably one area that I know for a fact I'm like very bad at, and everything seems to just be like extremely well lit by the sun. Which is why I've been doing those self-portraits, actually, like on top of them just being kind of funny to do. I've been trying to like explore how light affects the face. Because especially on the face, it's like so key to making things actually like look like what you're trying to represent them to look. So it's been interesting. I'm trying to get better. I don't know what, I took a break from looking at the comments and I don't know what is happening when I'm seeing pizza prof, biology prof, nutrition prof. Like, what are we talking about?
Pizza prof.
What's happening? Are we switching gears? Are we becoming like a dietitian channel now?
Oh my gosh.
I can get behind pizza.
Do you know what mukbangs are?
Oh my God, yes. I learned that term literally like a month ago.
Wow. Yeah. Tell us in the chat if you know what mukbangs are. They're spelled M-U-K-B-A-N-G. But basically, for those of you who don't know, it's the phenomenon of like eating on camera. Like people will eat and record themselves and just like post it on YouTube or Instagram or something like that.
It's very interesting. And like people make money that way too, right?
People make so much money. Like I've seen mukbang accounts that have millions and millions of subscribers.
Okay, I need to get on the mukbang business then. Like just to eat? Like I'm already doing that.
Might as well do it for profit.
Yeah, exactly. I'm constantly trying to think about how like my cat can make me money. I'm like, he's so cute. I'm sure someone would pay for cat content from him.
I don't remember this cat's name, but it's a very beautiful cat, white with blue eyes, that's gone viral because of how beautiful that cat is.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The owner of that cat is a very reputable art director, and she uses her cat's social media to prove her prowess as an art director. Does that make sense?
Ooh, it makes sense, but I need you to elaborate, I think.
Like, she's designed a website for this cat. She, like, films really good, like, content, takes really good photographs, edits those photographs, and really curates the social media presence of this cat. And then she goes to companies and goes, like, I made this cat famous. You want me in your company because you want to be famous too, right?
Wow. That's really interesting. I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued.
I'm like, oh my gosh, good on her for, I don't know, just like being an entrepreneur, I guess.
I mean, yeah, I do think about like a lot of times like website designers have to design like a friend's website sometimes to like have something. Like might as well do it for your cat.
I've also just like, I made an Instagram for my dog and I'm realizing how hard it is to maintain. Like whenever you see a famous dog or cat account on Instagram, so much work has been put into that account that like people notice.
That's so funny. It's true. It's some people's entire career.
Yeah. And like people can write books from all the fame they get. I'm like thinking of that orange cat that got viral because the owner's daughter was hugging the cat and going like, you are my sunshine, you know, singing that song. Mm-hmm. Does anyone know this cat? He's like super famous, but he passed away kind of recently.
Oh no, rest in peace. Yeah, there's some really funny famous animals. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine if that person didn't have that animal in their life. Their life would be completely different.
Okay, I just like added pattern to the background trees and I'm really hating how it looks like. So I'm going to like backtrack and get rid of that pattern.
Why do you hate what it looks like?
I feel like it flattens the image and also it doesn't give the eye area to rest. Because when you have atmospheric perspective, anything near you would be more detailed and anything more far away would be less detailed. I've put too much detail in the far away trees, so I'm going to get rid of it.
Are you just going to erase it or could you like lower the opacity?
I can try lowering the opacity. Let me try that.
Prof is asking me, your color scheme changed a lot. Was that planned? No, that wasn't planned. That had a lot to do with like the lighting. I realized that like everything in the foreground and the background were kind of the same level of lit, and that was it's lit. Wow, I sound so stupid saying that I'm too old. Anyways, it was all very bright, and then I kind of had the idea that the foreground would be a bit darker and then the background would be the most illuminated. So I've been slowly adding darker values, but I've also been trying to be a little risque, I would say, with my color choices, because who cares right now? You know, if I don't like it, I can just double tap and get rid of it. So that's kind of been my thought process. Trying to keep it within the realm of like each item having its colors, but yeah, that's been my color scheme thought process. But I'm like, I just kind of don't have a lot of thought put into most of what I do when I'm working with like for fun. And you know, there might be a chance that I completely change things. Private account. Ooh, spooky private account. Hi, private account. They're saying deep D, I love your style. Thank you so much, private account. That sounds so cool. A private account likes my style.
Yeah, I've noticed private account on previous streams too. And whenever I like introduce the new person with a comment, I'm like, ooh, private account has something to say.
They're a celebrity. Maybe it's George Clooney.
Ooh.
Guesses on who private account is. Maybe it's someone who we all think is like dead. But whoa, they're actually alive on private account watching our prop.
Wow. That's another dimension.
I know. Now I'm getting into conspiracy theory land.
Woo.
How did you pick your color palette, Kat? Because yours is pretty like intense and different than...
I don't even remember. I think I started out with like a normal... I mean, if people watch the previous stream where I started this landscape, they can see how I chose the colors, which was basically just testing stuff until I saw something that was like interesting and I just like rolled with it.
Okay.
What is it that you want to do with like the lighting of your piece, Deep D? Are you like happy with the sunniness or do you want to like do something more dramatic or do you want to keep on with this lighting scheme?
I kind of am improvising as I go. I'm feeling happier and happier about it because I liked the sunniness in the yellow, but I didn't like how sunny it was in the foreground or the fact that it was sunny all throughout. So I'm trying right now to like darken the blue and darken that like front mushroom, which I think is going well, and then as things recede I'm gonna have like the landscape be a bit brighter because I think that's also kind of a fun way to show space and maybe not have as much detail in the background because I want the atmospheric perspective to be there but still have the background like kind of have a presence because the brightness will be there. I don't know. I'm kind of improvising as I go. I'm liking so far how this these blue mushrooms in the front are going, and then that big mushroom is going. Mm-hmm. But it's all, I'm improvising.
What are your plans for the background? I mean, are you going to improvise that?
You're catching on, Kat. Good job. Kind of. I think I'm going to play around with shadows, like to give a sense of maybe like texture a little bit, but leave it pretty muted. And then I think I want to add some clouds in the sky that might have like a cool color scheme. But as I'm saying this, I'm realizing that the clouds would probably have something to do with the lighting, and that might change everything. So we'll take it as it comes, I suppose.
To be determined.
TBD. It's also interesting because I think I did I did some layer somewhere last time where I like made it one of the multiply or like opacity or something like that, one of the different opacity options. And I don't know which, I mean, I'm sure it's easy to find out, but I'm like drawing on one layer right now and it's like making other things like come out in a certain way that's unexpected because of that opacity change. And it's kind of fun to also just play around with that. Christine is saying, I love the yellow, red, and purple color scheme. I think that's about yours, Kat.
Oh, thank you, Christine. That was not on purpose. I just stumbled upon this. And maybe if you worked on something, you can also stumble upon a very cool color scheme too that you didn't mean to make happen, but it just happens. Okay, I think it's time I pulled the chickens back in.
Ooh, yeah, bring back the chickens. Did you ever watch the Amanda Show?
No.
She's like, bring in the dancing lobsters.
I was like, what does this have to do with chickens?
If anyone saw the Amanda Show growing up, there was like the skit that she would do where she was a judge and then she would like finish the ruling and she'd be like, bring in the dancing lobsters. And these like two men or women or whoever and lobster suits would just come in and it made absolutely no sense, but it was hilarious.
Oh man, okay, so I just Google imaged chicken flying and then I realized that this is totally not how a chicken looks like when it's flying, so I'm gonna fix that.
Really?
Yeah, it's more natural. Give me a moment, I will draw this out.
That looks pretty natural to me.
Oh, thank you. The shape is like a chicken standing with its wings extended, but it's not a chicken flying, you know?
Okay. I believe you.
Thank you.
Angie is saying, Kat, your trees remind me of the caterpillar illustration you did way back. It has that same vibe, strange enough. That's so cool. I actually see that too.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same artist doing both images. I think that, like, I didn't mean for that to happen, but Angie, it's really good that you point that out because, you know, your style or the way people recognize your artwork is just literally how you draw. So, I don't know, it just, like, comes out naturally and not on purpose for me, and so it will for you guys, too.
Yeah, we get that question a lot about, like, how do you find your style and stuff, and it's so hard to answer, but I really think what you said kind of like nails it, Kat. It's like you just have to keep making work. And you'll start just seeing that like your work will just start having a style when you like stop thinking about it, which is a lot easier said than done. But I found that like I just started like noticing patterns sometimes in my work and was like, oh, I think I'm like figuring out my style.
Our prof says, Deep D, can you make your image bigger?
Yes, sorry. Here you go. I'm working on these mushrooms. Oops. It's hard because I like having things small because I like looking at like the overall while I'm working on individual things.
I think that's a good mode of working because more often than not, I actually see the problem of people working too close up too long and then not looking at the bigger picture, like how it looks as a whole.
Yeah, I think that's what it stems from, is that I know that I have this tendency when I'm like working really close to then forget about the overall and then being like, well, now things are looking completely insane.
Mm-hmm. Orange Cat Spirit is saying Deep Dee should add nostril monsters to her.
Oh my gosh, I should. I should find a way to incorporate that. Or is that just too much nostril for this week? I've done a lot of nostril drawings this week. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, go to the Art Buff Family Instagram page and you'll see some of my recent nostril drawings.
I love your nostril drawings, Deep Dee. I feel like not a lot of people would think to draw themselves like a ugly self-portrait, you know? Ugly selfie.
I think I only feel comfortable drawing myself ugly because it takes off the pressure of like it needing to like look like you or do you any justice. Like the point is to kind of not do you any justice. Mm-hmm. It's to make you look kind of like whack and crazy. So if people want to do self-portraits but are fearful of being too harsh on themselves, give yourself the challenge of like making it look bad.
Maybe that should be a new art dare.
Ooh, what do you guys think?
Ugly self-portrait.
Nostril selfie, ugly self-portrait. I love that idea. I would do the art dare. I would do that art dare in a heartbeat.
Seven Angelic is saying, Deep Dee's texture is looking really nice on those mushrooms.
Thank you so much, Seven Angelic. I think it's helping incorporate the like pencil texture on top of the watercolor and work back and forth with those. And then I was inspired by this stream we did recently with me and Lauren and Clara on like complementary colors. So I've been using some complementary colors for the highlights. A complementary meaning like yellows and oranges with the purpley blues. Blue is saying, Deep Dee, work the distance part. The foreground is fine. Thank you, Blue. I'm going to do that. I just want to get the lighting situation nailed down here. Because I know that if I don't, I'm going to then do some lighting in the background and not feel comfortable with it as a whole. So once I kind of know, which is, I'm close to it. I like working in these small chunks.
You know, I really love it.
Sorry, what were you saying?
I was just commenting on, that was Blue Wolf Spirit, right? Who,
yeah.
Now. Yeah, I really love it when the art prof community is starting to like grow comfortable enough with critiquing that they like start to critique us, because like we of course need critique as well, like we're human, right?
Yeah,
it's just like so cool to get that feedback, because you know, once you learn how to critique, once you can or feeling comfortable with it, like why not share the knowledge, right?
Yeah, and I think it's important to like feel comfortable doing that too, because once you start feeling comfortable giving other people critique, you're more comfortable getting it too.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people are nervous about giving critique and then also getting critique and get really defensive. And I think that once you start giving critique and you start noticing like the process in which like the thought process behind giving critique and how like truly it's there for like to help, then I think you become, or at least I become more comfortable receiving it, because then you like kind of know the intent behind it. Clara saying, Kat, are you looking at a flying chicken reference photo right now, or are you drawing from your imagination?
Oh my gosh, I am absolutely looking at a reference photo right now. I'm not showing it clearly. Sorry, you guys. I'm just like Google imaging it. And I don't want to show that for like copyright reasons. But, you know, there's also like a tricky situation of like how much reference is okay to get off online without like infringing on copyright. And I think for my piece, because there are just like so many chickens, it's fine for me to like just reference flying chickens on Google Images and pull a bunch of flying chickens into one image. I don't think I'll get in trouble for that. No one report me though. Don't do that to me.
I wonder if you could even get in trouble because, like, aren't you remixing it in a sense? And like, how would they know that you used their specific flying chicken image?
That's actually really true. I don't know, like the online people are really vigilant. People notice really fast if you've gotten like a reference photo from somewhere. And also with like the reverse image search, it's really easy to, you know, catch people. But, you know, I agree with you. I don't think I'll get in trouble using these chicken images, to be honest.
That's kind of scary though. I didn't know that.
These chickens are looking a lot more lively. Like, look at that one. It looks
like. Yeah, I actually noticed like it does kind of change and make things look more realistic. Good on you for fixing it.
Thank you. Oh, there are so many chickens though. I can't fix you all.
Yeah. Picking and choosing your favorite chickens.
So Itenly is asking, is there some relief on copyright concerns in a teaching environment? Oh, that's such a good question.
I'm pretty sure that there is.
Probably. I don't know.
Or, like, I feel like in our streams when we show other people's art, because we're doing it in an educational format, it's like deemed kind of okay.
Oh yeah, that's totally true. Use ourselves as an example. Yes, I do agree with Deepti. I think there is some leniency. Also, if you're in like a brick and mortar classroom, I think it's also fine. But, you know, it's great to cite your sources. So if you do take a material somewhere else, you should probably like cite your sources and also credit the original creator.
Mm-hmm.
Seven Angelic is saying, well, I guess like the lawyer on the copyright stream said, anyone can sue anyone for anything.
Yeah. That is a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
And it's so true. But it's like also like sometimes, you know, people will be like, is this worth suing someone over? You know, like you can also think about it like that. Like, is what you're doing really, like, I highly doubt someone is going to sue you, Kat, for like a drawing that you're doing on Art Prof for educational purposes.
Yeah. I mean, if Art Prof were like, I'm trying to think of a really big sense, like if Art Prof was Apple or something like that, then for sure, I think people would want to, like, they might as well sue.
Yeah, you might as well try and take what they can give you.
Oh, but you know what? It would probably be even scarier with Apple because they're like a huge company and you're just one person, you know?
That's true. And they probably have some incredibly scary lawyers.
Yes.
Soitan or Clara saying, Soitanly, yes, when the content is used in an educational context or for journalistic purposes. Huh, that's good to know. Yeah, that's true. Probably the more money that something has, the scarier their lawyers are.
Yeah.
To protect said money. So,
ugh, man, that like makes me sad when I think of like the big companies that just rip off artists' works and don't do anything about it. Like, I'm not going to name any names, but there's something that rhymes with Suburban.
Yeah, I literally was thinking of the same one.
Something that rhymes with that. Neil says, Kat, will your chickens also have different colors slash patterns? I think that's too much to swallow in one stream, to be honest. Like, that's too much to bite off. So I think I'll just keep them as weird neon green chickens for now. But that's a really good suggestion, Neil. If I were to work on this piece super long term, then yeah, I would consider different breeds of chickens.
That's something that's interesting to note, because like, it's true that while we're doing these streams, we also kind of want to think about how we're addressing these pieces in terms of like how much time we have. Because if this was like a painting, I knew I had like a month to work on, maybe I would have even approached it from the get-go a little bit differently.
Yeah.
How do I feel about this skylight? Oh my gosh, do you ever like accidentally make a mark and then have no idea where that came from?
Ooh, all the time.
I just did that. I was like, where the heck did that come from? Weird. Okay. I'm curious if people are drawing along with us, and if so, what they are, what kind of fantasy landscape they're making.
I guess we can also see in the Discord later.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
Okay, these chickens, I'm like pretty satisfied with the level of detail. I do think that they are, they don't follow the color scheme that well. So I'm gonna do some like overlay, whatever tricks to experiment blending them into the environment.
Would you add like more detail on them?
If I have more time, but I think what I'm more focused on right now is like making the piece look finished overall. So I'm gonna adjust some of the colors and stuff.
Also, just FYI, Art Prof is 100% free, so if you're able to, please support us on Patreon or make a one-time donation, and all the links to do that are on the YouTube video description below.
Rachel VT says, I'm drawing along doing a random landscape thingy. Well, glad to hear about that, Rachel.
Yay, I love random landscape things. Maya Hika is saying, really loving these draw along streams makes me feel like I really belong in a community. Oh, that's so sweet. I'm really happy that we make you feel like that, because you guys make us feel like that and vice versa. So it's nice that we all get to hang out together and draw together, especially during like a pandemic right now, where like we can all be hanging out all the time in person.
Oh, Deepti, do you want to know this? I don't know if you know about the clipping mask in Procreate, do you?
A little bit. I think Jordan taught me, but I would be happy to learn again.
Okay, cool. So I wanted to edit the colors of just the birds through an overlay layer. So I would like add a layer and then, you know, make it red and then make that layer an overlay layer. Hold on, let me find overlay. There we go. But as you can see, when I make it an overlay layer, it affects the whole image, including the chickens and the trees. So if I want it to affect just chickens, I make it a clipping mask. So I make sure the layer's on top of the chickens, which it is, click on the icon here, and then I click clipping mask. And then everything affects just the chickens.
Wow.
Yeah.
That difference is really incredible, too. Like, it really makes a difference lighting-wise, too. Cool. Thanks, Kat.
My pleasure. Seven Angelic says, the yellow in the back of Deep Dee's painting reminds me of Marshmallow Peeps a bit.
Yeah, they do, actually. They have the, like, funky little Dr. Seussie vibes as well, like the shape of them. So totally see that.
I remember the first time I had Peeps, like, ever was at a friend's house. And I was really unimpressed by how they tasted.
They look like they should taste a lot better than they do.
Agreed.
I find it so hard to talk and draw at the same time sometimes.
Oh yeah, same.
Oops. It's wild how, like, sometimes I'm like, how am I gonna spend an hour and a half, like, doing this right now? Like, I'm gonna finish in like 30 minutes, and then I like don't even scratch the surface and all the things I think
that I'm gonna actually talk. I think I heard this advice from you, Deep Dee, is when you are proposing a timeline for a client, like a timeline of how long you need to work on the piece, to triple the amount you originally think of. Was that you who said that?
Yes, that is my go-to advice. Good advice, right?
Yeah, but I'm almost like afraid to state that because I'm like, oh my gosh, they're gonna think I take so long.
I always say triple, but I feel like if you think it's gonna take you a year, I don't think you need to say it's gonna take you 3 years. Mm-hmm. But like if it's a week, I think 3 weeks.
Okay, I think that's a really good distinction, actually.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, like, yeah, a month, maybe you don't think you need, like, 3 months, but maybe, like, a month and a half, 2 months might be a little bit more, like, digestible for you, who knows, but mm-hmm. I always prefer asking for more time and then surprising them, or, like, if they're like, whoa, no way, negotiating it down, then them being like, yeah, cool, and then being like, oh well, I guess I could have asked for maybe more time.
Our process cat, will you do more to the sky, or would that get in the way of the trees? Actually, I'm glad you pointed that out, Clara, because I totally forgot about, you know, there's a lot of things going on with the chickens and the trees. I kind of forgot about the sky. So I will actually, I'll experiment a little bit more with the sky, so thank you.
Yeah, there are a lot of moving parts in both of ours, I think. And sometimes it's easy to get, like, really into one of the things that you're looking at and not pay attention so much to everything else.
Yeah. I was actually thinking for my piece that there are not enough moving parts because the biggest thing in the piece are the trees and the chickens. And I kind of wanted something else to, like, mix up, you know, the landscape a bit.
I feel like yours is pretty, like, at least texturally and color wise and lighting wise, it's pretty intense.
Thank you.
So it's kind of a lot going on.
Yeah, it's like it's a lot going on, but there are just two elements basically. Two nouns, two subjects. Our prof says, Deepti, will you add any figures or creatures?
I think I'm going to leave out figures and creatures. I think sometimes it's a good lesson to allow yourself to just focus on certain things. Like, I think this already landscape-wise was a challenge for me to just incorporate all these different textures, and working in a landscape in general is just something that I don't really do. So I don't want to unnecessarily, at this point at least, add figures or objects, because I think that will just overwhelm me in a thing that I already feel a little overwhelmed doing. But perhaps, like, I do think that this, like, middle ground area that I'm working on right now, like, it could be activated in some other way. So maybe, like, more of these mushrooms or these little, like, other objects I have could come in, like, in the distance. But I think I want to figure out, like, the overall area before I start messing with that. I just know myself, and I know that I get really frustrated really easily. So baby steps.
I think it's good to know your limits. Like, sometimes going like, yeah, I could experiment and I could go wild, but also I need more of more simplicity, basically.
Yeah, I think also, like, we had done thumbnail sketches for this, if you remember, Kat, and then, like, if I had incorporated that in the thumbnail sketch phase, maybe I would feel a little bit more confident in going at it, but, like, because I didn't, and it was really about, like, lighting and composition and the variety and objects, like, I just want to stick to that, because I always recommend people do, like, go crazy and stuff, but I think that doing it in, like, a sketching phase will be less frustrating to you. Simon Angelica is saying, what about a figure or a shadow of a figure in the sky, like a dragon or something? That could also be cool, but I think I'm just going to stick to my guns and say that I want to keep working with, like, what I have.
I don't know. I also see where Clara and was a Seven Angelic. I also see where Clara and Seven Angelic are coming from, to add just maybe just like the silhouette of a bird. Like, for example, just doing, you can't see it. Okay, hold on a second. Just going like that.
In the sky?
Yeah.
I could try it.
I have this problem where my fingers are so cold that they don't register on the iPad.
Art prof is saying, do either of you ever have any artist guilt about not pushing yourself or experimenting enough? Do you want to take that?
Yeah, I feel guilt all the time. And I feel like that comes with being an artist, because you're like, there are so many cool things out in the world. Why am I not trying them? But I think it's also good to understand you're only one person. And actually, there's like this Chinese saying, I can't quote it word for word, but it's not as impressive to do a bunch of fancy martial arts moves as it is to do one kick really good. So you just need to have that one move that you're very strong at. And then you can just be confident in whatever you decide to do. And then you can decide, yeah, sure, I'll experiment in other things. Does that make sense?
That makes a ton of sense. So I didn't leave saying just one big giant nostril in the sky.
That's terrifying.
It's a bird. It's a plane. No. It's a nostril. That's so funny. I love that I've become like mother of nostrils now.
Oh. Okay, I like what I just did. I made it slightly more blue on the bottom here. Can you see the difference? I feel like that makes a good difference.
I really like your color scheme.
Thank you, Deepti.
Maya Hika is saying, if we had a portal to travel to another dimension, I feel like these landscapes would be the dimensions I'd end up in. Yeah, I was actually thinking like how both of ours, Kat, seem kind of like creepy, but also pleasant. Like with fantasy landscapes, it's quite easy to get into the realm of like creepy, but I'd say that both of ours don't seem like horrible places to get stuck in.
They're just off-putting.
Yeah. They're bizarre. They're like not really what we're used to.
Sarah says, I always get stuck not wanting to do anything new on my big projects because I'm afraid of messing up. I can relate to the not trying new things enough question.
Yeah.
There are just like a lot of approaches in art, and sometimes you just need to find the one that suits you. So in your case, Sarah, maybe you should try not a big project, an experiment, right? Like, don't wait until the big project to do something new. Experiment and try out like thumbnails, sketches, everything like that. And then do the new stuff there to feel more sure when you start the big projects.
Definitely. I think that's great advice. Because once you get to the point of it being a big project, if you're experimenting enough, it won't be new at that point because you've done enough like small experiments. Neil is saying, I would want to hang out with those chickens.
Thank you, Neil. They want to hang out with you too. Speaking of hanging out with chickens, like I recently acquired 3 chicks. So I've been spending like all my days with them. They're so cute, but they're growing so fast.
You are mother of chickens. I'm mother of nostrils and you're mother of chickens. Sam and Angelica saying Cats is Planet of the Chickens. It would be a great movie. But it's true. I can see some really cool text being incorporated into that.
Planet of the Chickens. That's terrifying. Do you know how aggressive chickens are? They're really aggressive.
Are they?
Yeah, actually, it's a thing where if you breed a brood of hens, you cannot introduce a rooster later because the hens will murder the rooster. Like in a terrible way.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So don't introduce new chickens to the brood. Also, if it's like another hen, they will like bully the new hen. It's just weird society levels amongst chickens.
Wow. Nature is wild.
Oh, Emma's saying, have you named the chicks Cat? Yes, I have. Their names are Jojo, Margo, and Coco.
Aww.
Yeah, there's like a little story behind each name. Should I explain the stories?
Yes, of course.
We have enough time. Okay, so I named Jojo after Jo from the character of Little Women because she's the smartest out of the three. She's the quickest. I named Margo because she flaps her wings and kicks her feet a lot like a dancer. So I named her after the ballerina Margot Fonteyn. And I named Coco because, like, she's, like, dark, like chocolate.
Did you have all the say in naming all of them?
Yeah, I actually have all the say in naming all the animals in my parents' household because I'm pretty good with names, I'd like to say. I don't know, maybe I've, like, jinxed myself. Maybe the next animal I'll name is, like, not suitable.
With picking names or with remembering names?
Picking names.
Oh, okay. John Murph is saying, do the chickens make a lot of noise?
Yes. They're just like chip, 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 all the time, especially when they're happy. And then when there is something alarming, like they want to sound the alarm, they're like, cha, cha, cha.
That is so funny. Oh, man. Did you grow up with chickens? Like, did you always know you wanted chickens?
I did not grow up with chickens, but I always knew I wanted chickens because I think they're a really cute shape. Like when a cat sits in a bread loaf position, that looks like a chicken roosting. I always thought that was really cute.
That's kind of true. I'm having a lot of fun with the color in the sky. It kind of just doesn't make any sense right now what I'm doing, but.
Oh my gosh, it's become a cloudy landscape, yours.
I know, it's gone from a sunny day to a cloudy day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that happens in real life.
Yeah.
All right, my friends, I want to invite you to join us on the Art Prof Discord in the hashtag Artalongs channel. The Discord invite link is in the YouTube video description below. Kat and I will be there afterwards posting our final pieces. We'd love to see yours, and we'll just talk and hang out about whatever. Please subscribe to the Art Prof YouTube channel. And I just wanted to say a huge thank you to our Patreon supporters. We could not do any of this without you. We have a second page of Patreon supporters now, which is so exciting. The list is growing. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We hope to see you on the Discord. We hope you drew along with us. And good night or morning or wherever you are. Have a great day. Bye.